भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय शुश्रुषो शब्दधानस्य वासुदेव कतारुचिः श्यान्महत्सेवया विप्राः पुण्यतीर्थनिषेवनात्. ओ ट्वाइस बॉर्न सेजेस, बाय सर्विंग दोज डिवोटीज हु आर कंप्लीटली फ्रीड फ्रॉम ऑल वाइस, ग्रेट सर्विस इज डन. बाय सच सर्विस वन गेन्स एफिनिटी फॉर हियरिंग द मैसेजेस ऑफ वासुदेवा. शृण्वतां स्वकथाः कृष्णः पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तनः हृदयन्तस्तो ह्यभद्राणि विदुनोति सुहृत्सताम्. श्री कृष्णा, द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड हु इज द परमात्मा सुपर सोल इन एवरी वन्स हार्ट एंड द बेनिफैक्टर ऑफ द ट्रूथफुल डिवोटी, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी. बाय रेगुलर अटेंडेंस इन क्लासेस ऑन द भागवतम एंड बाय रेंडरिंग ऑफ सर्विस टू द प्योर डिवोटी, ऑल दैट इज ट्रबलसम टू द हार्ट इज ऑलमोस्ट कंप्लीटली डिस्ट्रॉयड. एंड लविंग सर्विस अनटू द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड हु इज प्रेस्ड विद ट्रांसेंडेंटल सॉन्ग्स इज एस्टैब्लिश्ड एज एन इरिवोकेबल फैक्ट. तदा रजस्तमो भावाः कामलोबादयश्च ये चेत एतैर् अनाविद्धं सितं सत्वे प्रसीदति. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy.
Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate.
Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association.
Vidyate hridaya granthesh chidyante sarva samshayah क्षीयन्ते चास्य कर्माणि दृष्ट एवात्मनीश्वरे.
Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master.
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya 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 Prabhupada, Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shastor Bhakta Vindigi Jai Shri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Govinda Shyam Kunda Radha Kudde Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavana Ki Jai Navadvipam Ki Jai Ganga Jamuna Tulsi Bhakta Devi Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindigi Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrindigi Jai Go Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachadane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacharesha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 Chapter 87 Verse 21 Duravagama Matatva Nigamaya Tavatatanos Charita Mahamrit Abdi Parivarata Parisramana Naparila Santi Kechit Apavargam Apishvarate Charana Sarojahamsa Kula Sangha Visishta Bhraha
Duravagamma, difficult to understand. Atma, of the self. Tattva, truth. Nigmaya, in order to propagate. Tava, of you. Atta, who have assumed. Tano, your personal forms. Charita, of the pastimes. Maha, vast. Amrita, nectar, abdi, in the ocean, parivarta, diving, parisramana, we have been relieved of fatigue, na parilasanti, do not wish for, kechit, a few persons, appavargam, liberation, api, even, Ishvara, O Lord, Te, your Chardana, at the feet, Saroja, lotus, Hamsa, of swans, Kula, with the community, Sangha, because of association, Vistrishta, abandoned, Griha, whose homes. Translation, my Lord, some fortunate souls have gotten a relief from the fatigue of material life by diving into the vast nectar ocean of your pastimes, which you enact when you manifest your personal forms to propagate the unfathomable science of the self. These rare souls, indifferent even to liberation, renounce the happiness of home and family because of their association with devotees who are like flocks of swans enjoying at the lotus of your feet. Purport. Ritualistic brahmanas, smartas, and impersonalist mayavadis always try to relegate the process of bhakti yoga to a relative or minor role. They say that devotion to the personality of Godhead is for sentimental persons who lack the maturity to observe strict rituals or pursue the rigorous culture of knowledge. In this verse, however, the personified Vedas most emphatically declare the super excellence of devotional service, clearly identifying it with Atma Tattva, the science of the self that impersonal soul proudly claim as their own domain. Srila Jiva Goswami here defines Atma Tattva as the confidential mystery of the Supreme Lord's personal forms, qualities, and pastimes. He also gives a second meaning for the phrase Attatano. Instead of meaning who assumes various bodies, the phrase can also mean he who attracts everyone to his transcendental body. The pastimes of Lord Krishna and his various expansions and incarnations are an unfathomable ocean of enjoyment. When a person comes to the point of complete exhaustion in his materialistic pursuits, whether he has been searching after material success or some impersonal notion of spiritual annihilation, he can gain relief by submerging himself in this nectar. As Srila Rupa Goswami explains in his textbook on the science of Bhakti Yoga, Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, rendered into English by Srila Prabhupada as nectar of devotion, one who tastes even a single drop of this vast ocean will forever lose all desire for anything else. Giving an alternative interpretation of the word parisramana, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti comments that although the devotees of the Lord become fatigued after repeatedly diving into the endless waves and undercurrents in the ocean of the Lord's pleasure pastimes, these devotees never desire any happiness other than the Lord's service, even the happiness of liberation. Rather, their very fatigue becomes pleasure for them, just as the fatigue produced by sex indulgence is pleasurable to those addicted to sex. The Supreme Lord's pure devotees become enthused by hearing the charming narrations of his pastimes and feel impelled to dance, sing, shout out loud, kick their heels together, faint, sob, and run about like madmen. Thus, they become too absorbed in ecstasy to notice any bodily discomfort. Pure Vaishnavas do not want even liberation, what to speak of other desirable goals, such as an exalted position as ruler of the heavenly planets. This degree of exclusive dedication is admittedly only rarely achieved in this world, as the Shruti speaking this verse indicate by the word kechit, a few. Not only do pure devotees abandon their hankering for future gain, they also lose all of their attraction for what they already possess, the common comforts of home and family life, the association of saintly Vaishnavas, the disciplic succession of masters, disciples, and grand disciples, becomes for them their real family, filled with swan-like personalities like Sri Sukadev Goswami. These great personalities always drink the sweet nectar of service to the Supreme Lord's lotus feet. Many mantras of the Upanishads and other Shrutis openly declare devotional service to be superior to liberation itself. In the words of the Nishima Purva Tapani Upanishad, Yam Sarve Veda Namanti Mumukshavo Brahmavadinascha, to him all the Vedas, all seekers of liberation, and all students of the Absolute Truth offer their obeisances. Commenting this mantra, Srila Shankaracharya admits, Mukta Api Lilaya Vigraham Kritva Bhajanti. Even liberated souls take pleasure in establishing the Supreme Lord's deity and worshipping him. The great rival of Acharya Shankar, Srila Madhvacharya Ananda Tirtha, cites his own favorite Shruti mantras in this regard, such as Mukta Hetam Upasate Muktanam Api Bhaktirhi Paramananda Rupini. Even those who are liberated worship him, and even for them devotional service is the embodiment of supreme bliss. And Amritasya Dara Bahuda Dohamanam Charanam No Loke Suditam Dadhatu Om Tat Sat. May his feet, which bountifully pour forth floods of nectar, bestow wisdom upon us who are living in this world. In summary, Sri Sridhar Swami prays Tvat Katamrita Patodao Viharanto Mahamuda Kurvanti Kritina Kechit Chaturvargam Trinopamama. Those rare, fortunate souls who derive great delight by sporting in the nectar ocean of topics about you, consider the four great goals of life, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, to be no more important than a blade of grass. Translation, my Lord, some fortunate souls have gotten relief from the fatigue of material life by diving into the vast nectar ocean of your pastimes, which you enact when you manifest your personal forms to propagate the unfathomable science of the self. These rare souls, indifferent even to liberation, renounce the happiness of home and family because of their association with devotees who are like flocks of swans enjoying at the lotus of your feet. So this is the Upanishad speaking, but as we see, they're speaking quite differently from what we would expect from the Upanishads. And if we read Upanishads, then it talks about Brahman, about Akshara, about Purusha, about Upasana, karma, etc. Uses very philosophical terms usually, and we don't have so many direct descriptions of, you know, Krishna or Vishnu, etc. And their pastimes. For instance, we don't get any Govardhan Leela in the Upanishads or Ras Leela or anything like that. In fact, very limited in one sense. So, of course, based on that, then it's easy to interpret those words like Brahman and Atma play around with the meaning a lot. And the Atma means Atma, or Atma can mean Supreme Lord, etc. Or you become so Brahman. There is this interpretation we can give to make everything impersonal. At the same time, if we examine the Upanishads closely, then we understand that they are giving you a description of this Brahman. And though he is Brahman, he's also called Purusha. And of course, we can start interpreting that also. But usually, a Purusha is identified with Brahman. And Purusha means a person. And then the certain words are used to describe that person also. He's full of all good qualities. Of course, he is full of bliss. He is infinite. He has knowledge, etc. So, in various ways, I'm going to say in a minimalized ways, the Upanishads describe the Supreme Lord. But here, because it is Bhagavatam, we find a more direct expression of the personal aspect of the Lord. So here, the Shrutis are speaking, that is, Upanishads are speaking, but they're speaking in a very different way. So they're talking about association with devotees, which is also mentioned in the Vedic literature. You have to surrender to a guru, and he will teach you the secrets, etc. This is a very common theme. And you should renounce material life. So all these things are there. But here we find a very poetic way and a very sweet way of expressing how the devotees relish the Supreme Lord. So we have this whole description of the devotees who renounce their houses because they are like swans playing in the lotus feet of the Lord. So in other words, the swans get delight in the lotuses. So in the same way, the devotees of the Lord delight in the lotus feet of the Lord. They get great pleasure in serving the lotus feet of the Lord. So we have a nice image there of the satisfaction that the devotees get from serving the Supreme Lord. They get such satisfaction that they give up liberation. They don't desire liberation at all. They're completely indifferent to liberation. So this, of course, is a constant theme in the Bhagavatam. And of course, we see it as a theme picked up in the Nectar devotion also, and Rupa Goswami spends a lot of time to quote how the one who has realized the Lord derides liberation as insignificant. It's one of the qualities of bhakti. Laguta krit, moksha is considered to be very, very useless, insignificant. So here we find such a verse here. The devotees of the Lord disregard liberation. They don't desire it at all. So this is in direct contrast to the meaning of the Upanishads interpreted by others that say that liberation is the final goal. Here, they don't want liberation. But this is the Sruti speaking. They don't even want liberation. Now, of course, as explained, they can get liberation, and certainly they achieve liberation because their final goal is they don't have a body in the material world, they don't have birth and death, and they don't have karma. So technically they are liberated. But they don't seek it, nor do they accept that impersonal liberation at all. So this is considered to be one remarkable characteristic of bhakti, that the devotees disregard liberation, even though it is the goal of the gyanis and the yogis. And of course, the Upanishads speak about attaining amrita, deathlessness, etc. So then liberation, so that they think that's what liberation is. So if we only go for that impersonal liberation, that is what the devotees reject. On the other hand, the devotees do not reject that liberation, which means developing a spiritual body in the spiritual world and serving the Lord eternally. That's also liberation, but that is acceptable for the devotee. So when the Upanishads speak about attaining the deathless state, that's it is deathless, but you can have two states. So you can have the impersonal state of this Brahman, or you can have the state in the spiritual world where one is also amrita and deathless. So the words can be taken, well, the Upanishads can be taken in several ways. And here the Upanishads are taking these words to indicate spiritual world, spiritual body, etc., when they talk about liberation. So they disregard impersonal liberation, but certainly they attain something much greater. So they have great pleasure in serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Huh? And it says they are a few, kechit, some persons. doesn't specify how many, it says some. So definitely not all. So some means a few. So in other words, to attain this position of being a devotee who disregards liberation and prefers serving the Lord is rare, very rare. But yet it is superior, because this is what the Upanishads are talking about here. This is the real goal. So therefore the final goal is something that we have to, you know, search for very carefully. So this first line, two lines, they talk about how the devotees are absorbed in the great ocean of the Lord's pastimes, a sweet ocean of the Lord's pastimes, because the Lord assumes a body, atatano, which means not that he produces a body, but he manifests a body. And the bodies are eternal in the spiritual world. So in the spiritual world, he is a manifestation of certain forms, and with those forms, he performs activities. That's the charita. And this becomes pastimes, and they give great sweetness to the devotees when they see the pastimes and participate in those pastimes. And even if they're in the material world, by hearing about those pastimes, then they also derive great sweetness. They experience that great sweetness. So the Lord's forms are eternal, but they manifest according to the particular devotees and according to the particular pastimes. And as far as the material world is concerned, this is speaking about devotees in the material world, because it talks about they give up their houses and their families. So they're in the material world. Then the Lord comes into the material world and manifests forms like Krishna or Narasimhadev or Ramchandra. And he performs pastimes. And those pastimes are recorded in the scriptures like Ramayana and Mahabharata and Bhagavatam. And then the devotees relish those pastimes through hearing process and remembrance of those pastimes. Unless they're very fortunate to be alive when the Lord manifests on earth, and they can directly participate in the pastimes. In either case, again, as with the last line of the verse, which talks about their they associate with the devotees who are absorbed in the lotus feet of the Lord. So here, they themselves are relishing the pastimes of the Lord, hearing about the pastimes of the Lord. By this, they are able to communicate to other people the truth about the Supreme Lord. That's Atma Tattva. So, of course, Atma Tattva means self-realization. I mean, we realize the self. But, of course, Atma can mean body. Atma can mean mind. Atma can mean senses, even. Atma can mean so many things. It can also mean Supreme Lord. So this is how it is often taken in the Upanishads. Atma means Paramatma, Supreme Lord. And that's how they give the meaning. Atma, Paramatma. So it talks about Akshara and Atma, etc. So it means Supreme Lord, Paramatma. So it's not impersonal, Brahman. So Atma Tattva there means, we could say, Bhagavat Tattva. They propagate the real meaning of Supreme Lord in the sense of his form, qualities, and activities. So they do this after understanding, through the hearing process, the all the wonderful activities of the Supreme Lord, by which they appreciate the Lord's form, qualities, and activities. So then they can propagate that to other persons. Though the Upanishads, we say, use words like Atman, Brahman, and Akshara, etc.,
Here, the same Shrutis are glorifying Supreme Lord, indicating these words like Atma, etc., but taking it on the highest level, that is, Atma means Bhagavan, full of wonderful pastimes. So we have direct explanation here. Charita Mahamrita Abdi, the sweet ocean of the great sweet ocean of pastimes of the Lord. And the devotees hear these pastimes, and they relish these pastimes. So in this way we get the real meaning of this Atma or Brahman. Similarly, the word Brahman, of course, we usually say Brahman means impersonal Brahman. But actually, it just means the greatest. That which expands everywhere and causes expansion. In other words, Supreme Lord is the creator of the material world and he pervades everything. Basically, that's what Brahman means. And that is explained directly in the Brahma Sutras. Janma jasya yataha. What is this atato brahma jigasa? You inquire about Brahman, what is it? That from which everything comes. Creation, etc. So he's the cause of everything. So that is Brahman. So does impersonal Brahman cause everything? Some people can say yes. My Vaidya will say no. Brahman doesn't cause anything because nothing else exists. It's not a cause of anything. Because only Brahman exists. Nothing else exists. Everything else is illusion. So in that sense, Jamajasya makes no sense at all, really. Brahman is the cause of birth and creation, etc. No, it can't be. So, directly by saying, of course, by saying he's the cause of material world, etc., creation, etc., we have an indication that material world is also real, and jivas are also real, if he creates something. Why say he creates an illusion? Why make a statement that Lord creates illusions? What's the whole point of that? In any case, the material world is real, and the Lord is doing something. He's doing an activity. He is not without activity. He's got activities. And the activities have some purpose. And he's not alone. So, therefore, that Brahman is taken directly by all the different Vaishnava commentaries. It means Supreme Lord. That's all. And even directly, well, Baladeva will say, it means Krishna. And even Nimbarka says, it means Krishna. Brahman means Krishna, that's all. I guess he's the highest form of Bhagavan, highest form of Brahman. So, therefore, the words, we can interpret some of these words and give them impersonal meanings, as impersonalists do and Shankaracharya does. But on the other hand, the same words can be taken in a very personal way. And that is what our Vaishnavacharyas do. So here, the Shrutis, that is the Upanishads in person, the personification of the Upanishads, are explaining the real meaning of what they're saying. What is the meaning of Atma? What is the meaning of Brahman, etc.? In these verses. So here we're talking about Atma Tattva. So the Atma Tattva is so wonderful that the devotees drown in the ocean of the sweetness of his pastimes. So this has got nothing to do with impersonal Brahman. There is no ocean, there is no pastimes of the impersonal Brahman. Therefore, there's quite a different meaning for the word Atma in this context. The devotees that do this, they realize that that other liberation, that is the impersonal liberation, is useless. Because of the greater bliss they get, simply from hearing about the Supreme Lord, they get such great bliss. They have no desire to merge in Brahman at all. And instead, they absorb themselves in the topics of the Lord, and they surrender to the lotus feet of devotees who are also absorbed in the Supreme Lord. So this, of course, also indicates the cause of development, that is, association of devotees. The Upanishads, therefore, are clarifying the meaning of the Upanishads so that we don't think that they are given impersonal interpretation to them, as was raised in that question at the very beginning by Parikshit. Oh, that Brahman has no qualities, so how can we describe it? Or how can the Vedas describe it, since it has no qualities? Huh? But here we have. Who is that Brahman? He's got great activities, an ocean of activities, sweet activities. And the devotees are listening to those activities and they're developing great bliss. So this is quite different from the Brahman that has no qualities at all. Certainly no material qualities, but this Brahman has infinite spiritual qualities, all good qualities, all excellent qualities, which are most attractive to the devotees. So there's a statement that Taittiriya Upanishad actually says that one knows Brahmavit Apnoti Param. The one who worships Brahman or meditates on Brahman attains Param, the Supreme, whatever like that. So, of course, you can say the one who worships Brahman or is a Gyani, he attains impersonal Brahman, you could say. But the devotee takes it, one who worships the Lord attains the Supreme Lord, Param, who is Satyam, Gyanam, Anantam. And of course, Ramanujacharya gives a whole explanation of each of those words, how it shows the unlimited nature of the Supreme Lord, etc. But then it also says that the person, what does he do? Asnute sarvakaman vipaschit saha vipaschit, I think, brahmana saha brahmana brahmana vipaschita. So vipaschita means the one who knows everything, that's brahmana, that the knower of everything, that means Supreme Lord. He knows everything. And the jiva attains sarvakaman along with the Supreme Lord. So then that also is a little ambiguous. Why would a devotee have desires in the spiritual world? In liberation, cannot have desires. So the meaning there is, kama means all auspicious qualities. So the devotee experiences all the wonderful qualities of the Lord, as well as the sarupa of the Lord himself. So he appreciates the Lord as he is, plus all of his wonderful qualities. So that's the meaning of the verse. So, in other words, again, we have qualities manifested or whatever like that. So, in the Supreme Lord. So, the Lord is there, and he's full of all wonderful qualities. And the devotee experiences those qualities and gets great bliss from that. So, therefore, we hear this very clear explanation of those wonderful qualities of the Lord. Because we see the devotees hearing about the Lord, they become absorbed in those pastimes, consequently they are inspired to preach them to other persons.
When the devotees experience the wonderful qualities of the Lord, so each devotee may have a different type of understanding. He may not experience all the qualities depending upon his devotion. How can he really, sometimes I've seen devotees telling, Lord came in my dream, I experienced it. Is it because that he's just thinking of it and Lord really comes, or he's imagining?
Well, the actual appearance of the Lord can only take place at the stage of bhava, at which stage material conceptions and attachments are at a very, very minimal stage, so which is very rare. So therefore, when ordinary devotees say, I had a dream, then we can't think that's the real bhava stage. Now, of course, they can get a secondary abhas, some shadow form of appearance of the Lord, as we say, there's bhava bhas, etc. And even neophyte devotees sometimes get ecstatic symptoms. So it's a bhava bhas. There's nothing duplicitous about it, because they have devotion. But at the same time, it's not the real bhava. So it's like some experience they have due to their nature that allows them to have such experiences. But it's not the direct meeting with the Supreme Lord. It's a little bit different because they're not qualified for that.
So, of course, according to the qualification of the individual, they will appreciate different aspects of the Supreme Lord. And for that reason, the Lord has different forms, because different people appreciate the Lord in different ways. Some people want a very strong, powerful Lord, so they worship Ramchandra. Other people like a sweet Lord, so they worship Krishna. Other persons want a very majestic, grand person, so they worship Vishnu. So persons can, according to their liking, preferences, worship different forms of the Lord and be satisfied with that.
A few slokas before, it was said that according to the capacity of the qualification of the jiva, the Lord gives the intelligence to realize or understand Him. Then what is that capacity or the qualification the jiva has for? Based upon what? Because there are different ranges of understanding.
Yeah, so accordingly the Lord responds. So the first qualification is faith. And even the faith is not that much, a little bit. It's enough that we get a little curious. And so we go to devotees. And that means faith in pure bhakti. So then we will approach devotees who preach pure bhakti, and we will accept that, whatever they say. Okay, Supreme Lord is there, jivas are thing, devadas are like this, bhakti, no desires. Okay, they accept. So that is faith, and they accept the scriptures that teach that, like Bhagavatam. So it's just a little inclination. But that, what is the response of the Lord? Well, He arranges for the devotees, and the devotees give bhakti, and He begins practicing bhakti. And as it says in the Bhagavatam, Krishna is in the heart, and He destroys the anartas. As you practice devotional service, anarta nivritti takes place. So there's some response from the Supreme Lord. Now, we can say it's not direct, because the Lord doesn't directly manifest Himself in each new devotee and start destroying offenses and anartas, but nevertheless, the Lord acts through His process, bhakti, and through devotees, etc. So by sadhu sangha and by hearing, etc., which is non-different from the Lord, chanting, non-different from the Lord, then anartas get removed. And as He advances, the Lord responds more. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I give you the intelligence by which you can come to me. So at every point, we take the assistance of devotees, we practice, and we also have the mercy of the Supreme Lord at every stage, somehow or other. But it may be prominently manifested through devotees in the beginning stages. Even that, we could say, is that the Lord is involved in that also. So, therefore, the Lord is there to help the devotees at every stage. And then we hear descriptions that the Lord sees the devotee, and if He thinks that that is not a very good condition for the devotee, He may take things away from the devotee. So that's personal intervention of the Supreme Lord. So He takes away all their wealth, so they don't get attached to anything in this material world. And that's, so He may do certain things at certain times for certain devotees to aid their advancement. So the Lord is involved at all stages. Of course, if one gets to bhava, then the Lord manifests Himself directly to the devotee. And the devotee develops spiritual body with spiritual senses and spiritual mind. So that is an endowment by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, directly. And of course, the prema, then the Lord surrenders to the devotee. That's the opposite. The devotee controls the Lord.
So in the case of Bharata Maharaj, he attained the stage of bhava. After that, he got diverted to on some material thing. So do we say that it is the interference of the Lord or the choice of the devotee, Bharata?
Yeah. Well, he forgot the Lord because of previous aparad. He had anartas still, because bhava is not perfect. There's still some anarta there. His anartha in bhava stage was that he'd somehow done some offense somewhere long ago, and then it manifested his desire to take care of a deer and think of a deer instead of the Lord. And there he fell. But how was the Lord involved in that? He wasn't involved in making him fall. But what he was involved in is making him advance. So then when he was in the deer body, he gave a memory of the past life.
And then he got a memory again when he was Jadbara, next lifetime, and then he got prema. So the Lord made arrangements so he could advance, so that he could eventually get prema.
Maharaj, we hear that all souls, all jivatmas are exactly the same, except that their karmas are different. The karmas is what makes each...
Well, they're not exactly the same. Just like the Lord is one, but he's not exactly the same in all the forms. These certain manifestation of qualities. So jivas have a sarup and have common features. They are all dependent on the Lord. They all are consciousness. They all are experiencers, bhaktas. They all have capacity for activity. So there's some common qualities like that. But they also have their own aham, sense of I, ahankara, which is different from that. So that's not the same. It's not the same ahankar. It's not all the jivas are acting I, and the same I with the same desire. No, they're all different. So the I is different. And consequently, the perceptions, the likes, the dislikes, the activities, experiences will be different because of that. And consequently, the karmas will be different. Well, it's an ambiguous term. Self-realized, when we talk about science of self-realization, we don't mean that you attain, we're not advertising Brahman realization, we're advertising Bhagavan realization. But for most people, when they hear self-realization, they'll call you okay, self, they don't care about God, but at least self is nice. So for common people, self-realization means more or less impersonal type. But if it's used for devotees, then obviously we're not interested in that. We're interested in Bhagavan, not the Supreme Lord. So.
I go from a